Now we're returning to the book of Hebrews, in the chapter 10. And as you know, we have been speaking on the subject of church membership for the last number of weeks. It is our intention to bring those who have inquired after membership and have met with myself by way of conversation or interview to bring them into membership at our communion service upon, well, what we might call Easter Sunday. And so we're going to continue preaching on the subject of membership until that time. Not only why we should be a member, but what does it mean to be a member? What are the responsibilities? What are the obligations that are placed upon us when we become members of a local church? So you have a few weeks left yet if you're considering membership but haven't yet spoken to me, but there will be, as I said, that cut-off date, that communion service on Easter Sunday, when we'll be welcoming in those that have sought membership in the congregation. This morning I want to deal with the subject, why attend church? How important is the place of public worship? And to that end, we are going to look at the verses 25 of Hebrews chapter 10. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. Let's seek God in prayer. Father in heaven, do come and help us now. Thou speak to us through thy word, even concerning the subject matter at hand. And that we might be fully convinced that it is the place for every child of God to be found in the place of public worship. Then it is at all costs, may we be fully convinced about these things. And may it be reflected even in our attitude and in our desire to be for those of like precious faith. These things we pray in the Saviour's name. Amen. Let me read that verse to you again, Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. I want to put a question before you, which I hope God will write upon our hearts. How important is public worship? With all of the pressures that's put upon us in this world, with all of the cares and the responsibilities that we have, if we are wise, we will learn to make priorities, to put first things first. Otherwise, the busyness of life will crowd out the things that are important. So we must make it our priority that the most important things receive our greatest care and attention. And if anything is to be neglected, let it be the things that are of lesser importance. And so I want to ask again that question, how important is public worship? Where does it fall in our list of priorities? When we became a Christian, whether we realized it or not, it became a life of commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. And every day that we live, we make decisions based upon the strength of our commitment to the Savior. When we decide how much time or how little time or perhaps no time are we going to spend reading the Scriptures? How much time do we spend reading our Bibles? It's a reflection of the level of commitment that we have to the Savior. How much time do we spend praying? There are decisions that we will make day by day, whether we will do this thing or not do this thing, because of our commitment and our faith in Jesus Christ. We'll make decisions whether we will go to that place or not go to it, based upon the level of our commitment to the Savior. There are multitudes of decisions that we make day by day, and each of them, in some way or another, reflect our commitment to the Saviour. I would suggest the same is to be seen when it comes to the matter of public worship, whether we decide we're going to go to church today or not. Oftentimes it's a reflection of our commitment to the Saviour. And obviously commitment levels vary from person to person, and perhaps even from day to day within the same person. I know there are reasons that people can give why they don't come to church. And I know that Satan, the great father of lies, will provide all manner of excuses and reasons for us not to go. Would you think of some of the excuses people give? I'm too busy. It's not that they are opposed to attending the worship services. It's just the busyness of their life seems to rob them of any available time. It's work during the week, perhaps school. Then Saturdays are loaded with household chores and family responsibilities, and so many are their duties and cares that spills over into Sunday, and they feel that the time that they would spend going to church is time that they just can't spare. They're too busy. And so when it comes to cutting something out of their schedule, it's their place in the house of God that gets the chop. I'm too busy. Some people have to work, and I appreciate that. Because of work schedules, sometimes Sunday work is unavoidable. I appreciate that people have to provide for their families. But what a shame it is that sometimes it's a job that can become a wedge between ourselves and the Lord. I'm fully convinced in my own heart that Christians will strive and even sacrifice if necessary to find times for worship with God's people. Busyness ought not to be an excuse. Work ought not to be an excuse. Another excuse we hear, it's my only day to relax. My only day to lie in. It's the only day that I'm not pressured for time. I heard about a golfer who was 20 minutes late. He was supposed to meet some of his friends at the first tee on a Sunday morning. And they were waiting and waiting and waiting. They were about to start without him, 20 minutes late, when finally he arrived. And they asked him, "Why are you so late?" And he said, "Well, I made an agreement with my wife that this Sunday that I toss a coin and see whether I played golf with you or went to church with her. Heads, I play golf. Tails, I go to church." "Well, why did that keep you 20 minutes late?" "Well, I had to toss the coin 143 times before it came off heads. We have to get our priorities right. We have to put God at the top. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you." Obviously, we could multiply the number of excuses that we have, but really, it all comes down to the same thing. It's a reflection of their heart and of their priorities towards the things of God. That's all it is. And it could be any number of excuses that we could give. Now, what I want to do this morning is give you some reasons why we should come to church, why we should make it a priority. I don't want to worry you, but I have 10 points, but they're not like regular points. Some of them only a sentence or two sentences. They're not in any particular order. They're just simply as they came to me, and I put them down on paper to share with you this morning. Some reasons why we ought to come to church. Number one, and I think this is the most important reason, because the Lord is here. We ought to want to attend the services in the church because the Savior is here with us. In Matthew 18 and verse 20, the Lord Jesus Christ said, "Where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them." there has never been a time when but two or three people of God have joined together to worship the Lord that He hasn't been found in the midst. The Lord Jesus Christ has never missed an assembling of His people. He is always present, even if there's only two that gather together to worship and praise in His name. He has never missed a service. I think that's remarkable. Now, if we were able to announce that this evening we're going to have a very special guest, we're going to have the Savior Himself here in the flesh, we'd invite you along to the services, do you know what would happen? The hall would be filled. Everyone would make it back for the afternoon service. In fact, they would go and tell their friends and their neighbors and their relatives, you must come to church tonight because the Lord Jesus Christ Himself is going to be there in the flesh. The seats would be full, the aisles would be full, the hall would be full, the rooms behind me would be full. We'd have to relay the service out into the Sunday school room. Why, we might even have to take it out into the open air, so many would be the people that would come to see the Lord Jesus Christ in the flesh. Now, I don't expect the Lord to be here this evening clothed in human flesh, but I believe that He will be here in spirit, just as He is this morning. And if we had that greater realization that the Lord is always here, I believe that it would have an impact upon our attendance. It would have an impact upon our worship. Can you imagine if we were truly and fully conscious that the Lord was here, how it would transform our meeting? That our singing would be more fervent, more earnest and heartfelt than it ever was before. Our praying, why, it was as if we were transported into the very presence of God. Even the sermon, why, we'd even sit up and listen to it if we thought that it was being spoken in the very presence of the Savior. Should we have a communion service, what deep meditation there would be. As the collection plates would go past, what generosity would be seen. Everything would be different. Everything would be better. Now, the Lord may not come amongst us physically, but that's not of great importance, because every time where two or three gather in His name, He is there in the midst. Just after the resurrection, when the disciples were meeting together in the upper room, the Lord Jesus Christ came in amongst them. And I always think of poor Thomas, who missed out on meeting with the Lord because he wasn't gathered together with the rest of the saints. How often we fail to meet with God because we have absented ourselves from the very place where Christ said He's going to be. There's one reason. Because the Lord will be here. Let me give you a second reason why we should gather for worship. It's a public expression of our love for God. Going to church gives a visible, tangible expression of our love for God and our worship of Him. We gather with other believers to publicly bear witness that our faith and trust is in God. We gather with others so that we can sound forth our praises and our thanksgiving and our prayer in honor of Him who loved us and gave Himself for us. It's a public witness. The psalmist said in Psalm 22, in verse 22, I will declare Thy name unto my brethren, in the midst of the congregation will I praise Thee. Sometimes people are motivated to come to church for how it might bless them, for what they might get out of it. But we ought to be remembering that our purpose for gathering is to worship God and to serve Him. That God is worthy of our energy and time and effort to honor Him Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. And when we gather here with those of like precious faith, it is a public testimony that the Lord is worthy to receive glory and honor and power. Let me give you a third reason. We come and assemble with one another because it builds up our spiritual strength. This is the place where God speaks to His people. Coming to church, coming to a Bible-believing, preaching church should make us stronger Christians. If we're honest, we must confess we're not nearly as strong in the faith as what we ought to be. Therefore, the more time that I spend in prayer and in worship and in studying the Scriptures and in meditating upon God's truth and in partaking of the Lord's Supper, all of these things work together to increase my faith and strengthen it and encourage me to be a better and stronger Christian. Receiving the preached Word of God increases our faith. It builds us up spiritually. We have battles to fight every day, spiritual battles. Therefore, we must become equipped with the armor of God. We must know how to use the sword of the Spirit. How do we do these things? By coming to the house of God, by fellowshipping with other Christians, by studying the Scriptures. Paul reminds us that Christians face a battle, a wrestling match with Satan and with evil forces, that there's spiritual armor for our protection, that we must do everything that is at our disposal in order to stand fast. And it's important that we take every opportunity to receive ministry and strength from the Word of God. Paul says in Romans 10 and verse 17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. If we absent ourselves from the place where God's Word is read and preached and expounded and explained, we are robbing ourselves of spiritual strength. Reason number four. It provides fellowship with other Christians. Every local church is a family of believers. When the church gathers for worship, it is a gathering of our spiritual family. And that ought to be sweet and blessed. There ought to be fellowship there. As family members, we need one another. We comfort one another. We help one another because we love one another. Now the Scriptures make it clear that in order for us to be in a right relationship with God, that requires both a vertical and a horizontal alignment. We must be in vertical fellowship with God, and we must be in horizontal fellowship with other believers. It is not possible for us to love God and not love the brethren. Scripture warns us about that. That the two must go hand in hand. That if we are out of fellowship with those around us, we will be out of fellowship with God. For if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. There is horizontal fellowship, there is vertical fellowship. John wrote this in 1 John 2 and verse 9. He that saith he is in the light, and hateth his brother, is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light. One of the important reasons that we gather together is that we might practice love toward one another. And if we are in a right relationship with God, that will be demonstrated in a right relationship with others. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with the other, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Keeping ourselves in love and harmony with one another keeps us humble before God. Let me give you another reason. Number five. It's an act of obedience. An act of obedience. We read there together in Hebrews 10 and verse 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. Attending the services is an act of obedience, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. The writer here in Hebrews 10 and 25 tells us that to forsake the assembling together with other believers is to break what God has commanded. Are we going to be obedient? There is a responsibility here charged to every believer to attend the services when at all possible. Because again, as you can see, it exhorts one another. It encourages one another. It encourages the preacher, if no one else, to see you. And I suppose we might say, by way of contrast, it discourages when we see empty seats for no apparent reason. Let me give you a sixth reason. We're getting through them quickly. Number six. It provides a spiritual accountability. Part of the evidence that proves we are to be part of a church fellowship is that we are told that we are to submit unto the authority of spiritual leaders within the boundaries of God's Word. Hebrews 13 and verse 17 says, obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they which must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. God has designed within His church this system of accountability for the benefit and for the protection of His flock. We are to obey those who have the rule over us, because they are those who watch over us for our spiritual well-being, knowing that they must give an account of that service and protection one day unto the Lord. Now that isn't really possible unless we are part of an organized fellowship with identified elders and pastors and leaders. It's easy to see how we can't really be under submission to a televangelist or to a minister that we maybe download as sermons from sermon audio. It's not possible to be under submission if we're visiting a different church every week. Submission necessitates a commitment and a relationship to a local body of believers and to the spiritual oversight that God has placed there. How can we really be in submission to those who rule over us if we haven't ever submitted to a local church and to those who rule over us? So there's an accountability towards other believers, that there are those who watch out for you, who before God are accountable for your faith and will, if necessary, tap you on the shoulder and say, brother, I think there are things you might need to sort out in your life. There are things that need to be adjusted. There are changes that might need to be made. Let me give you a seventh reason why we ought to be found in attendance of the house of God. Well, as we add our presence to the fellowship, it multiplies our power. That's the kind of mathematics we like. We add to the fellowship and we multiply our power. The Bible indicates that agreement and prayer with other believers carries special favor with God. The Lord Jesus said in Matthew 18 and verse 19, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. There is a multiplied strength in the combined faith of God's people. And that's realized as we gather together for corporate prayer and worship. When we gather together with those of like precious faith and join with them in worship and praise and in prayer, our spiritual power is multiplied. This is something that God has indicated all through the Scriptures. Back in Leviticus 26 and verse 8 it says, five of you shall chase 100, and 100 of you shall put 10,000 to flight, and your enemy shall fall before you by the sword. God multiplies the power of his people when they gather together. We have increased power as a church. You want to see greater things accomplished in your families, in your society, your communities, then gather together with other believers in prayer and watch God multiply the power of those prayers that are offered together where two agree. So come and join the prayer meeting. This gathering for public worship is not just for a Sunday morning service or a Sunday afternoon service. It's when God's people get together. Reason number 8. It honors the Lord's Day for us to meet in public worship. The 4th commandment of the law that God gave to Moses on Mount Sinai was for a setting apart of a day that was to be remembered as a Sabbath day to be kept holy. This was and will always remain the official Sabbath. Well, we don't worship upon the last day of the week. We worship on the first day of the week. Because after our Savior rose from the dead, on the first day of the week, those early Christians began to meet together on that day as well as upon the original Sabbath day in the Jewish synagogues. But history tells us that due to the enmity of those Orthodox Jews towards these new Christians, that they put them out of their synagogues, they were eventually ostracized, and though they were no longer bound to that a rigid code of law, that they came to look upon Sunday, the first day of the week, as being an observance of the original Sabbath and also a reminder of the resurrection day of our Lord Jesus Christ. So they met together on the first day of the week. We call it the Lord's Day. Some call it the Christian Sabbath. It's a day of fellowship. It's a day of celebration. It's a day of remembrance that this is the day upon which our Savior rose from the dead. And we gather to worship and pray and study the Word together. Now, Christians today, we are free from the bondage of the law. God's indwelling Spirit has brought about a new way for Christians to fulfill the desires of God through His love. But that does not invalidate the relevance of the Ten Commandments. It is as much God's desire today that His people do not kill or steal or commit adultery, and He is still very much pleased when His people honor Him on that day that is set aside, reserved for Him, for worship and for praise. I laugh in pity when I hear of Christians who only believe that there's 9 commandments today. They won't bow down before false gods, and they won't kill, and they won't commit adultery or steal or bear false witness, but they somehow think that the 4th commandment has been wiped from the records. God will still have us keep a day holy unto Himself. Coming together for services on the Lord's Day helps us keep that day holy. My time's running out, but so are our points. Well, point number 9. It sets a good example. We attend the services in the Lord's Day and whenever else we can because it sets a good example. I want to set a good example for my friends and for my neighbors. Because whether I realize it or not, they are constantly watching me. And they know what to expect from Christians, sometimes better than what Christians realize themselves. So if I stay at home when the rest of God's people are gathering for worship, don't you think they notice that? And they'll come very quickly to the conclusion the next time that I go to witness to them about the importance of being a Christian. What a hypocrite. Didn't seem that important last week when he didn't go to church. They watch. They see. They realize what's important in our lives. And if we don't attend the house of God, they will come to the conclusion it's not that serious a matter after all. I want to set a good example for my neighbors and for my friends. I want to set a good example for my family, for my children. Some will want to set examples for their grandchildren. We don't want to be doing anything that would lead them astray. We want to ensure that if they follow in our footsteps, that we are leading them closer to the cross. And if church attendance is something that I can take or leave, then we can't expect our children to be any different. I came across a study that was quite revealing. It disclosed that if both father and mother attend church regularly, that 72% of their children will remain faithful in attendance. If only the father attends regularly, then it's 55% of their children that will remain faithful. If it's only mum that attends the services and dad's not there, that figure drops down to 15%. Fathers, there's a great responsibility upon us to be seen as faithful in the things of God. If neither father or mother attends regularly, then it's only a few percent, somewhere between 4 and 6, children that will ever be found in the house of God. We have a tremendous impact upon our families. They see our church attendance. They decide whether going to the house of God is important to mum or dad or not. And if it's not important to them, why should it be important to me? That's why we come. Because it speaks volumes to those around us. One last reason. The neglect of public worship is our first step towards a total apostasy. Very seldom do men and women ever turn away from Christ and His gospel and His grace suddenly and all of a moment. It's usually the charms of this world and sin take us by degrees, take us gradually. The wall that falls down because of a gust of wind just didn't fall down because of that breeze. The foundations were crumbling. The mortar was growing weak. Apostasy, a departure from God and His truth, can be so gradual that those who have forsaken Christ perhaps don't even realize that they've forsaken. Oh, they've stopped reading their Bible gradually. They don't pray as much, but it's been a gradual decline. Their departure from the house of God, it wasn't just that they decided, I'm not going to go back anymore. It's just their attendance became gradually less. Instead of being there every week, they were there 3 weeks out of every 4. Then it became 2 weeks. Then 1 week. And then, well, it's only Christmas and Easter. It's all so gradual. And to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is but the first step towards a complete departure from God. I fear what it says in 1 John 2:19. John is speaking about some of believers that obviously been asking them about, what about this person? They used to come to the service. They used to be found in the house of God. But there's no evidence of any faith in them now. And John says they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. What's John saying? John's saying they went out, they left, because really at the end of the day they weren't ever truly saved. Because if they had been truly saved, they would have continued with us. And the fact that they're not worshipping today, the fact that they're not living for God, is just a demonstration that they were never truly saved to begin with. Those who willfully neglect the assembling of God's people for worship and praise and study of Scripture, those who know the truth of God yet turn from it, are treading underfoot the Son of God. They're counting the blood of the covenant as a thing to be despised. This passage in Hebrews 10 presses upon us the necessity of persevering in the faith. That means we use whatever means we can to exhort one another, to encourage, to strengthen, to establish one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Make it a priority. Make it your number one priority to meet with God and to meet with the people of God, knowing, well, I'm not going to go through that list of 10 again, but most importantly, to know that because God is here and that I want to be here with Him. I finish with this. It was an example of the excuses that people make about why they don't attend church, but instead of using the word church, they substituted the word games. And you can put football games, cricket games, golf games, whatever it might be, but you'll see the falsehood of their argument as to why you'll never get me back near that place again. Every time I went to the games, they asked me for money. I had to pay to go in. The people with whom I had to sit didn't seem very friendly. The seats were too hard and not always comfortable. I went to some games, but the coach never called upon me to participate. I went to some games and a referee made a decision that I didn't agree with. I suspected that when I was sitting at the games that there were hypocrites around me who came just to see their friends, but not actually to watch what was happening. Some of the games went into overtime and I was late getting home. Sometimes the band played music that I'd never heard before. Some of the games were scheduled when I wanted to do other things. I was taken to too many games by my parents when I was growing up, and I don't want to take my children to any games because I want them to choose for themselves what sport they like best. You can see how foolish those arguments are. I hope this morning we've looked at some scriptural reasons why we want to be in attendance when at all possible. Why go to church? And I trust that we will be encouraged not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, but that we might be knit together and plan to be there whenever God's people are assembling before Him. Let's bow in prayer. Gracious Father, speak to us, we pray. Show us the necessity of meeting together in worship and praise and study of the Scriptures, to know that we do so in the presence of God. For Thou hast promised to be here with us. Lord, by Thy Spirit, speak to us now, we pray, and speak on to our hearts, convicting us and challenging us and drawing us after our Savior, and that we truly might know the blessing of the Lord's Day and the gathering of Thy people for corporate worship. And may we make it our heart's desire to be with them and to be with Thee whenever opportunity allows us to do. May we not forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but may we purpose in our hearts to be here whenever we can. Be with us now, we pray. We ask in the Savior's name. Amen.